Hey, Foot Clan, before we start today's show, I want to thank SeatGeek for sponsoring today's episode. Look, you've all been there. We've been there recently, buying lots and lots and lots of sports tickets.
Got to get them seats.
Oh, so many seats. And a lot of these ticketing websites make things difficult on purpose. It seems that way. Look, we've all used SeatGeek for years. We all have it on our phone. We all use it on the computer. It is the fastest, easiest way to find tickets. In fact, I was at some other ticketing site trying to just like see the seat map, and it was an awful experience because I am so used to SeatGeek, and that is what we always use. And they have 50,000 five-star reviews that back up what I'm saying, and they pull in millions of tickets from all over the web. You can get the tickets to the game that you want. And we love SeatGeek. We've used them forever, and we have the hookup. You can use the code FOOTBALLERS, and you'll get $20 off tickets at SeatGeek. That's $20 off your first purchase with promo code FOOTBALLERS if you visit SeatGeek.com or download the SeatGeek app today. Use the code FOOTBALLERS for $20 off your first SeatGeek order at SeatGeek.com.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in. I'm not happy, boys. You're looking smug back there behind the cameras, but I'm not happy. Welcome into the Fantasy Footballers Podcast.
You got to explain it, because your displeasure is with the two miscreants in the
behind
back.
The cameras.
Not you two. I'm sorry.
Incredibly attractive co-hosts of the Fantasy Footballers.
Correct. And it's both
Mike
of
and
you
Jason.
Mike
Those
and
are
Jason.
The incredibly attractive
in co-hosts. That order.
But we just started the show, got off to a great start. You got the intro music. I welcomed everybody in. Then I glanced down at the desk.
Oh.
And
I see what's happening here.
We did not approve this removal. Sure, we're shells of ourselves. We have no emotional abilities.
I'm dead inside.
But where is the Suns towel, Brooks?
So we gotta put this.
Yeah, someone's bringing it out during the show.
And we gotta bring this up for the listeners. So here was how the conversation went. Brooks said, Suns towel backup or nah, and Andy's response was, leave it.
I was
referring to leave it in the, okay.
Oh, is this actually on Andy?
No, it was. I meant leave it in the state it was, which was on the table.
Yeah, but he said, should it go back up?
Yeah, we had to record something else this morning, so we took it down.
Leave it down.
The point is, we don't run from it. Might be my fault. Wait, either way, Al Borland's coming out here and putting it up during the show. 100%. Don't shake your head at me. You throw that thing with some sticky tape on it, I'm putting it up. Otherwise, we're backing away from our sons just because we're up against the wall. And that's not happening.
That's right. We'll get it up.
Sure, we are dead inside.
Yes. Yeah, I'm a hollow man. And if this ends up bucks and six, we had a good run, Foot Clan.
Yeah,
the show was great.
It was fun.
We will miss you. You will miss us.
It will magically appear at
the
front of this table.
Please come to the service.
Yeah, this is the final show.
We're going to have a wake.
Right.
Well, they can throw whatever they want. We'll be dead. Tuesday, July 20th. That's all the Suns I want to talk about today. We have divisional breakdowns. We're into the NFC. These have been very popular shows. We just did the whole AFC, breaking down each and every team, things that changed in the offseason, getting you ready for the 2021 fantasy season. I think we've learned a lot individually on these shows, with each of us bringing up some points about the players involved. We also have some news to talk about. I mean, August is fast approaching. We will be 5 shows a week before you know it.
In 2 weeks.
Yeah, I know. It's
crazy.
2 weeks. I'm going to go out of town in about a week for a few days to
recharge.
To recharge like you did recently and get ready for 5 shows a week plus the Footcast.
Oh, brother.
Plus some other stuff that we'll have in store. But this is the fun time of year. I mean, anticipation. If you're brand new to the show, welcome in.
Yeah, hey.
Excited to have you. for the last 1,075 shows, we've existed to make your team better, to get you ready for the season.
And have a good time.
And congratulations on your championship. I mean, this is the time of year, like everyone knows, in one more month, when mid-August is here, everyone is going to be listening. Those people will not get the information that you are getting right now. So
I mean, they could scroll back here and listen.
Sure. But you know, those they people won't.
They don't scroll.
They came late to the party. You're here on time.
Here's the quick question for today's show. It's from Brian in Dayton, Ohio. He says, I'm trying to figure out what the best settings are for Fab. Do you guys prefer continuous? And if so, what nights do you run it? Do you run it once after all the games? Back it up just a second. Make sure you explain Fab waivers and then what we do.
Yeah, the free agent acquisition budget, Fab, is a fake amount of money. You get $100. There's no real money there. It's just virtual currency, and everyone bids on your waiver wire options. There's no priority list of, oh, I lost a game, so I'm ahead of this other person. That might be used as a tiebreaker. The record will be, but it's really a matter of if you believe in this player on the waivers, spend more than others. But the fun part is you don't know how much others are spending. It's blind. You're going in and making your bidding. So the settings we use, Mike, why don't you explain what days of the week and how that runs?
Yeah, so on continuous, it's gonna run every morning. And we have it run every single day except for Tuesday. We give everybody the breath of the weekend just happened.
Which is pretty normal.
Yeah, like reevaluate, get your strategy together. Who are you going to go after? Which players are you going to target? Who are you going hard in the paint after? So we don't run it on Tuesday, but every other day after that, it runs once in the morning, and it adds a huge element of strategy, fun as well. Every morning you get to go check and see who did what, who was stupid, who was. Which players slip through the crap? through the crap.
You don't want them on your team. They slip right through the crap, and they are messy.
Because it happens all the time. Where you look, and you're like, wait, so and so got this running back for two.
Nobody bid on him.
Well, that's the backbone of our drop it like it's hot during the year, where we're basically recommending you also see. Like, it's easy to see who's been signed. But you forget somebody has to be dropped.
Correct.
In order to sign those players. And if you can sneak some really good players onto your roster just by the fact that, you know, people are making necessary moves to stream quarterbacks, tight ends, pick up, you know, insurance running backs, things like that. All right. A reminder, you can find us on YouTube. That Suns towel is going to appear very shortly. You can find us on YouTube.com/TheFantasyFootballers.
Have we located it?
We've located it.
Okay.
Yeah, the wheels are in motion. Wheels are in motion. TheFantasyFootballers.com is the website.
What a team we have here.
To support the NBA on this Fantasy Footballer Show. UltimateDraftKit.com if you want to get access to the Ultimate Draft Kit or the UDK Plus. The Draft Analyzer is live right now as well. And so if you run that, you want to tag us on Twitter. Let us know what grade you got. Yell at us. We won't fix any of your grades, but you could fix your roster, and then we'll grade you better.
Yeah, that's on you.
That's on you. All right, it's time for some news.
News and notes from around the league, presented by Sleeper.
Okay, I'm happy now.
Yeah, there we go.
The Suns towel is back. Down but not out.
I don't feel very good.
No, neither do I. Look, I want to say something because we are bitter. We are biased.
Yeah.
We are fans. That should be the motto of fans.
Right.
We are bitter. We are biased.
We are fans.
We are fans. But I will say this. I do respect the Bucks fans. I think that they are better people than other fans. I understand that they're going through the exact same joy that we were going through on this run. I know this is impossible for Jason to bear, but I just want to say, like, I mean, it's been good-hearted for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I if we dish it, we got to take it. That's all I'm saying.
If I can just add on to that for one second, I completely agree. That's it. That's it. The Bucks fans have been a lot of fun.
Leave it there.
Big man Jason showing up.
That's right. I mean, I hate you with all of me, but you're good peoples.
And the captions on Jason's picture where he was.
Oh, if you're on Twitter. Spider-Man holding the shorts together.
I posted a picture of Jason. He was on the back wall. And here's what happened in that game. The Suns were losing, and they Jason went to the back wall for a moment, and we made a couple shots, and he associated him not watching the game on the back wall with our comeback, and he committed himself to the back wall.
That's where I lived.
Did you just say, I didn't see this, so someone, I know exactly what you're talking
about.
Yeah,
someone,
so you put
Photoshop Spider-Man. The Spider-Man holding the trains together. It was the funniest thing of all time.
Yeah, Jason was in a squat position. The shorts were doing their best work. The best work they could do to hold them together. And the amount of captions related to GasX or those shorts were innumerable. I'm sorry. You just got to go see that picture.
Yeah, okay.
All right, news.
Mike just saw
the picture. Saquon Barkley said Monday he does not know if he'll be ready for practice next week when the Giants start training camp.
I know if he'll be ready next week when they start training camp. How does he not know? He is not going to be ready.
Ooh.
But that is, again, not really breaking news. That's kind of the timeline expected that we've talked about. His surgery didn't happen until, I want to say, like October. So the timeline, he still should be ready for the beginning of the season. Might get off to a slow start, but won't probably be ready for the first week of training camp for full activity.
I think that I saw someone on Twitter putting it in an excellent way of saying players are always positive about, I'm coming back. You know, don't sweat it. Don't worry. I'm going to be there. So weighing that information of the past with how Saquon is talking about his injury, I mean, that's where it feels concerning. This new information or him talking at the press conference or whatever it was, that doesn't change my opinion of how I've felt about Saquon, but it doesn't feel good to see to have your player be kind of wishy-washy on his answer.
Where you draft Saquon, you can draft other elite running backs.
Right.
That do not need an acclimation period, that do not play on
the Giants?
The Giants with that offensive line. And look, even if he's Saquon, like, you think he's going to get the Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook workload in week one or two?
Probably not. This is why on our early bust show he was a name that was brought up.
Yeah. So it's down a notch for me, tier-wise. Washington football team running back J.D. McKissic gained weight this offseason. Mike, you talk about gaining weight all the time. Bulking
Hey,
up,
wait. What?
Well, at the running back position.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I'm not saying you talk about gaining weight.
But that's exactly what you said.
Well, you talk about,
yes,
in the context of my previous sentence, you talk about how you feel about running backs and wide receivers adding,
yes,
or cutting weight. Would you like to expound on that?
Yes.
And why McKissic will steal your soul?
Running backs, when they put on weight, I do not like it. I get what the context and the concept is. They want to be able to take the wear and the tear of all of those carries, but more frequently than not, they lose agility, they lose speed, the things that were making them actually successful as a player. So I do not like when I see running backs talk about putting on weight, and the opposite of that is wide receivers. It seems to have worked out for them, and I know this is a lot of just, not really having, there's no data behind this. This is just my personal run through fantasy football that when I see a running back talk about putting on weight, it doesn't work out. Meanwhile, it does for wide receivers.
Okay, so McKissic doesn't want to be thought of as only a pass-catching back.
That's a shame. That was what you were good at.
Peyton Barber cut weight because he doesn't want to be thought of as a no-longer-on-the-roster running back. So he's trying to make the team. And that was today's news and notes brought to you by Sleeper. Switch your league right now to the fastest-growing fantasy platform today.
What is he going to do? Like, McKissick is not taking Antonio Gibson's job when it comes to carries. The best case scenario for McKissick is he holds on to exactly the same job that he had last year. That's best case.
Know your role. Well, right? Stay in your lane.
Yeah, I was just saying, like, you were very important to the team.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, know what your role was and be great at that role.
Yeah.
But I imagine he, you know, I don't know. I didn't see him say this. I don't know how much weight he gained, but
72 pounds. It's really bad news. Oh, he slowed down significantly, but he's hoping to be the goal line option.
Lindale McKissick.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Thank you. Thank you, Al.
I had been prepared for that whole talk, and then I let my guard down.
Drop came. Okay. Let's get this started.
Let's get divisional.
We're into the NFC South today on our divisional breakdowns. The NFC shows have begun. And we'll start with the Saints. Last year, 12-4. Actually started the year 1-2. Questions abounded.
That's crazy, man.
And then they won 9 straight games. They also went 6-0 in the NFC South, which didn't really matter because they swept Tampa in the regular season, but then lost in the divisional round to Tampa. And they whooped them in the regular season. I mean, by a combined 46 points. So I think the big question mark for the Saints, and I kind of have a narrative here that I want your opinion on, but people want to know is, if the Saints are going to regress without Breeze, right? Post-Breeze era begins. There was news this morning that the Saints are going to open an open competition at quarterback. Don't know who the 2021 starter is. I know we all like Sean Payton, but last year was a perfect example of magic at the head coaching position does not always mean success on the field. The Patriots lost Tom Brady, and it was a rough year for the Patriots. Figuring out the quarterback position and the offense. Are you expecting regression from this team? And what does it mean to you that they're having an open competition right now?
Yeah, I think the open competition was what was expected. Otherwise, we would all have one of these guys statted with confidence that they are the starter. Nobody knows who the starter is. The beat reporters will take their guess, and they admit they don't know who it is. We're not going to know who it is until late in the season. And there will be regression for the Saints as far as when you're going from a, you know, first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback and you've been a very, very solid team, you're not going to just stay status quo and be one of the best in the league there. But the roster is strong. Most positions, the defensive side of the ball, as an NFL franchise, I expect the Saints to still be a quality team, which is why I do lean that Taysom Hill will still get the starting gig. He was 3-1 as a starter. He's going to manage the offense better, turn the ball over fewer times. And I think at the end, this is a team that just wants to win games. And
there's parallels here with New England, because the Saints last year, they were fourth in defensive rushing yards given up, fifth in passing yards, fifth in points against. New England's recipe was some passing, some running from the quarterback position with Cam Newton, and then play elite defense.
It's hard of looking at Taysom Hill's starts because we view everything through the fantasy football lens, and Taysom Hill was very solid for that purpose. He was a top 12 quarterback in each of his starts, including an incredible debut as the quarterback 4 against the Falcons. But those 4 games, Atlanta, Denver, Atlanta, Philadelphia. And I know that it's wins on the board, but how much does the team look at that and go, well, Taysom Hill beat really crappy teams, and then we lost to Philadelphia, who at the time, at the time of the season, Philadelphia was already, it was bad. Like, they were already looking towards
That seemed like a let your guard down situation.
Possible.
And that was also, I believe, the first game for Jalen Hurts. So it was kind of a shot in the arm for the Philadelphia Eagles. But it will change. Who the quarterback is changes the outlook of some of these players. For me, the biggest difference here is Alvin Kamara. Whether or not Alvin Kamara...
Really, it's not Michael Thomas?
No, because Michael Thomas showed in that four-game stretch that he was absolutely outstanding with Taysom Hill. His target market share was through the roof. He was on pace for like 180 targets. I mean, this was... I don't have that much of a difference in my outlook between Winston and Taysom Hill when it comes to Michael Thomas. I think Michael Thomas will have more opportunity for receiving touchdowns because I would presume that Winston would throw more passing touchdowns. But outside of that, it's really Alvin Kamara to me because of the target volume and whether or not the quarterback can take off running or dump it down to the incredible Kamara.
How much do you feel right now? So are you still projected for Taysom Hill?
Yes.
So, and Alvin Kamara is right now where in your running back rank?
He's already my running back three with Taysom.
Oh, there's Super Kamario.
I mean, look, Alvin Kamara.
So you're not that worried. You're talking up how you're worried, but he's your running back three.
Yeah, there's a tier break. Obviously Dalvin Cook, Christian McCaffrey are in their own tier, and then Alvin Kamara is next. But he was the running back one last year, right?
I have him down as the new nickname, new descriptor. It's the dumbest player to doubt in the NFL.
Kamara?
Alvin Kamara.
Okay.
It's the dumbest player to doubt. We create these new reasons to doubt him, and there's no reason to doubt him. He's averaging the most yards per touch of any running back through the first 4 years of their career. That's since 1970. He reminds me of what Jamal Charles was. If you remember, just the...
Yep.
Look, you're on another level than everybody else. And I do not personally have any concern for Alvin Kamara, regardless of quarterback. I am with Jason. I 100% believe that Taysom Hill is going to win the job. Look, you can say what you want about, like, hey, they lost to Philadelphia. I mean, it was overall a pretty good debut, and Winston lost to him once. So maybe that's Sean Payton wanting to give Taysom his due because he promised him. I mean, I don't know. We'll have an open competition again. I know Taysom Hill says he's only been doing workouts for a starting quarterback workouts. So he won't be ready for anything else if he loses.
Oh, that sucks for him.
I know.
And if you've watched Jameis Winston's workouts, he's only been doing workouts for the lead in the Barnum & Bailey Circus. So he's really looking to do some wild and wacky things out there. Dude, nobody does stupider workouts than Jameis Winston. These videos he posts, it's like, what are you doing?
They are... interesting.
Do you, let me just, since Jason's brought it up a lot this offseason, Mike, I just want your take. Do you have any actionable difference in your opinion on Alvin Kamara based on the quarterback?
Like an
adjustment on how you would treat him for the fantasy football draft season?
I don't. We saw such a small sample of Taysom Hill, and in those first two games, he threw the ball 18 or 23 times and then 16 times before really opening it up, you know, and then averaging about 37 attempts per game over those last two, and that's when he finally did target Alvin Kamara. So I don't, as of right now, I'm not concerned either way. I know that there are definitely studies and things of how a mobile quarterback, you do see a drop in targets, you know, maybe one to two targets a week. But Kamara is still elite and is the number two receiving option on the team.
Now, I won't stay here too long. Jason's talked a lot about the value he likes in Michael Thomas. Right now, he's a mid-third round pick, the wide receiver ninth off the board. I'm more on the like moderate value side for Michael Thomas. I expect him to be capable of returning to what he was before the breakout, like, insane season, right? So that was wide receiver seven or six. Wide receiver ninth off the board right now. I mean, if you believe in Michael Thomas, no matter what, maybe there's a little bit of a second round value there in the third.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked about it in recent shows, but I do think he bounces back. I think he is as locked and loaded as a wide receiver 5 through 10 as possible. Like, I don't think he has the ability with this new quarterback to be the wide receiver one. But I don't see him dropping outside of the top 10 either. His target market share is as assured as any player in the league because the wide receiver core behind Michael Thomas is not only not good, but also irrelevant because Michael Thomas.
I guess part of me hesitates on that pick with Thomas versus some of the, you know, like Terry McLaurin is the ceiling higher. Is it higher for Allen Robinson or Amari Cooper than it is for, because you said you don't expect him to be able to compete for number one. Are there players behind him in your rankings that do have that chance?
Yeah, I do have players behind him that I think could hit the number one wide receiver. But when you're just when you're factoring in the probability of that happening mixed with, you know, the likely range of outcome, Michael Thomas is definitely going to be my pick there.
And then Adam Trautman is
becoming
less of an unknown name in the fantasy football world.
Thanks, Mike.
I'm doing my best.
So he is a tight end.
Yes, he is a second-year tight end. As a rookie, he graded out as Pro Football Focus's best run-blocking tight end in the game.
How many fantasy points do you get for that?
None. But you earn the trust of your coach, and you get on the field, and you earn the trust so much that they take Jared Cook and Hill, the other starting tight ends of the team, and you waive both of them, and you move forward with Trautman. The opportunity is great for him. He's still a late-round tight end. He's still it's definitely a lower-probability player. I'm by no means declaring Adam Trautman is breaking out this season. I just think that the opportunity is there. And while his athleticism is not on par with, like, the walrus, I mean, to be
nobody
fair.
Nobody is.
No, not many players are. I mean, he's big. He has his highlight reel is incredible. And he has
– Is there a less – athletic animal than a walrus than an actual walrus?
Look, I've never seen a full speed walrus in the water.
Oh man, they're outstandingly
in the
fast.
Water. You yeah. know, that's where it is.
Yeah, I mean, on land, the thing's fumbling and bumbling around. It has no legs.
You ever seen a shark run? Me neither.
Yeah, exactly.
So slow on land.
How's a cheetah do in the water? Not great.
I'll bet he's still pretty fast.
So it just there's a lot of things that point in the direction that Trautman can break out this year and be a top 10 tight end.
Yeah. All right. Before we get to talking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Super Bowl champion.
Yeah, there you go.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Want to thank today's sponsors, Manly Bands. Listen, man, we know we've spent a large chunk of our lives, if you haven't yet, you will, of looking at that cut, that clarity, that carrot, the color, all the things for the wedding rings for our wonderful wives, and we don't care about ourselves. And you see that
in
the actual jewelry stores. You go in there, and there's a gajillion things for her, and there's like, which one of these you want?
Mm-hmm.
Go with that one. Don't do that, because Manly Bands has incredible, incredible rings here. We're talking about pretty much every earthly material imaginable, and even some non-earthly materials. You want your ring made out of a meteorite? Manly Bands. You want your ring made out of dinosaur bones? What? This is insane stuff. I personally have, get this, not a joke, the baller ring. That was I didn't name it. What are the ballers? I got a baller band.
It is awesome.
And you could get a bunch of these. Just match your outfit every day. Take your marriage up to another level with Manly Bands. To order your Manly Bands and get 21% off plus a free silicone ring, go to manlybands.com/footballers. That's manlybands.com/footballers. Code footballers for 21% off Manly Bands. The best rings, period.
Foot Clan, today's podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? There is no shame in the game in admitting that you need some help. Everybody has tough stretches, and you don't just need to power through. Sometimes you actually need some help, and that is okay. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is a professional counseling situation. It is done securely online. The service is available for clients worldwide. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm a very outspoken person about mental health, dealing with depression, dealing with anxiety. These are things that can be helped. You don't have to live in that darkness. Go get some help, and BetterHelp is a great way to do it. And right now, Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers. That's Better H-E-L-P, and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. And right now, Fantasy Footballers listeners get 10% off their first month. BetterHelp.com/footballers.
As Jason alluded to, we are moving forward now to the Tampa Bay Champaneers.
Tampa?
Now, the Buccaneers were 11-5 last year. They got hot at the right time. In fact, this blew my mind looking back. Going into the Week 13 bye, they were 7-5. They were barely holding onto a wild card spot. Yeah. We have the playoffs fresh in our minds, but this was an acclamation for Tom Brady and the offense. It's been a pattern.
There was the game in there of Week 9 when they got trounced by the Saints.
They ended up averaging 33.8 points per game from that point forward, won the Super Bowl. Third in points per game on the year, seventh in total yards, ninth in pace of play, 29th in rushing attempts. This was Tom Brady's offense, and he got it going. This we've brought up a lot. Bruce Arians' offense, the first year, it's been difficult on quarterbacks. A lot of interceptions normally, a lot of downfield throws. Tom Brady was great, and it makes sense that the GOAT would figure it out a little bit.
It took him half a year. The other guys, it takes them a full year. But the plant man, he got done in a half.
Yeah, once he tore the old MCL, he was set.
And it also
moving around too much.
Yeah.
It happened to coincide with when all of his wide receivers were healthy, right? You had Godwin missing games in the beginning. You had Antonio Brown not there. Mike Evans was used in a way that he wasn't, you know, not his specialty. Once they signed Antonio Brown, which he started in that crazy Week 9 blowout where Tampa Bay only scored 3 points. But from that point on, you had the trio healthy. You had Antonio Brown, Godwin, and Mike Evans healthy. And during that time, all three were very valuable. Mike Evans goes to his actual role of being the outside guy. You can't double him because who are you going to leave open, Antonio Brown or Chris Godwin? And Tom Brady just caught fire, was unbelievable. I expect him to stay in those flames, knee surgeries included. And so this offense looks to be outstanding in the passing game. I'm happy with all three wide receivers. I have major questions on the running game.
Well, Tom Brady right now is being drafted as the quarterback 10. Barring something happening this offseason, he's going to end up one of my guys. I'm almost sure of it.
Spoiler!
And he's got an ADP, there's no way for his ADP to go past a certain point because of his birth certificate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no matter how much hype or excitement there is, he won't go past a certain point, which is why I like him so much. He's going to pass Drew Brees for the all-time yardage record this year. And this offense finally got things going, and I think it continues. So I really like the value of an eighth-round Tom Brady. He's who I end up with in a ton of mock drafts. Jason, when you guys went head-to-head, you had him in your mock draft.
You and I both, I believe, have him as our quarterback 5. And when you can draft him in the 8th, 9th, 10th round, it's just an unbelievable value.
But turning to the running back room before the wide receivers, let's look at Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette. Ronald Jones is a 7th-round pick. Leonard Fournette is a back of the 7th-round pick, both outside the top 30 for the defending Super Bowl champions. So that says something. I still view Ronald Jones as a potential value due to the ambiguity in the backfield, due to the fact that he is difficult to predict, but he was a good running back.
He is a good running back. He 100%
is a good runner.
He's not good at catching the ball. He never has been from USC days.
When you factor in the minimum target threshold, he graded out as the worst receiving running back on Pro Football Focus.
So that's the bottom.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, nowhere to go but up.
But he did
as
average,
you might say,
5.1 per carry, 16.7 opportunities a game, was the running back 8 for a 10-week stretch from week 4 to 14, and he smashed bad run defenses. So if you want a recipe for maybe you punted and you went 0 RB, or you're looking for late-round streaming, like he's a streaming running back to me.
Yes.
Like but not the kind where you like kind of hope for some production. Like you can stream him and have him compete and be an RB1 or 2 for you on the given week if you just pick the right matchup. That's how you have to approach him. You cannot lock and load him into your lineup. I think that would be irresponsible. But if you pick the right matchup, I think you'll get value out of Ronald Jones.
You can.
But Jason, you said you despise this room. And is it because you can't project it?
It's tough because I think that you are going to have a lot of inconsistency. If I took a shot on someone, it would without a doubt be Ronald Jones. Despite the playoff run that Leonard Fournette had, the clear better football player for this team is Ronald Jones. And he did, you know, he was actually good the second half of last year. So, you know, coming in this season, they signed Giovanni Bernard, and there's a lot of question. Okay, you got Tom Brady. He passes to the running back. You want to know why he passes to the running back? Because he passes to wherever his talent is. And James White was probably the second best pass catcher back. Reminder, it was Julian Edelman, 33-year-old Julian Edelman. Mm-hmm. Then James White is the number two target. Behind him was Philip Dorsett and Mohamed Sanu and Jacoby Myers as like a second-year player. Whereas now, with Chris Godwin and Mike Evans and Antonio Brown, I think that the Brady passing to the running back is a little overblown. Because he might not need to.
Here's a recipe. I'm going to give you the math equation for starting Ronald Jones. If you think he'll get more than 10 carries, play him.
Sure.
Every single game he got more than 10 carries last year, he was a top 36 running back. Many of those games he was in the top 10. The only games that he had actually dud games on, 7 carries, 3 carries, 10 carries.
The problem, though, for fantasy is that a lot of times I remember over the last 2 years, going through that process was sometimes when it just seemed ironclad that this is going to be one of those 10-plus carry games. All of a sudden, you come out and Ronald Jones goes to the doghouse and just gets three carries.
I think that's still in our minds, though. It's a little bit seared onto our memories, what you're saying, from last year, because – at least according to our consistency metrics, he's still – like this is the RB16 last year. He's a B consistency on our metrics.
You're talking the final production. Jason is simply talking about when you actually had that confidence to start him, where he was sitting on your bench. You go, is this the time? And you – and it just takes one incorrect guess, and now Ronald Jones is going back to your bench and just sitting there while you watch him have good production. Jones is incredibly difficult because looking at a player, Damien Harris, we expect Damien Harris or project him to be very underutilized in the passing game. But he looks really locked in to be that first and second down role, where Ronald Jones is not going to be he's not going to see the same targets that he saw last year. He saw 42 targets, and Leonard Fournette saw 47. So, I mean, they were still being utilized by Brady, but they just weren't good in that role. And then, so now on top of that, someone who projects to be a first and second down running back has a player right behind him who the team will, at the flip of a switch, they will go to him, as you saw in the playoff run where it really turned into Leonard Fournette. So I'm not opposed, Andy, to your take on feeling like Ronald Jones is a value. There's just such a huge probability of trap built into Ronald Jones that
I like that probability of trap
more so than just his end of season production, the week to week scenario that you will find yourself in of pulling your hair out, not knowing what to do.
Evans, Godwin, Brown, elite weapons. They were 21st in target share to the wide receiver position last year. That is low, but somehow third in fantasy points. Thank you, Tom Brady.
I mean, Antonio Brown, to me, the value on this team is it's absolutely outrageous of Antonio Brown going often in the double-digit rounds. I mean, he is – I'm not saying Antonio Brown's going to be a top 12 wide receiver, but he's going to be more than likely he'll be a top 36 wide receiver by the end of the season. So that return on your ADP value is absurd, and built into that is if Godwin misses time, if Mike Evans misses time, Antonio Brown has the ability to really turn it on.
I'm just not persuaded that Antonio Brown's going to be a meaningful part of your fantasy team.
Oh, man.
Because of it, because I know Mike Evans is – like, I saw some metrics this past week that put Evans and Davante Adams as like
– Oh, Mike Evans is an elite player.
And then Godwin at his value in the fourth round, I adore. I mean, a wide receiver 16 on this team. Antonio Brown – will be utilized. I'm not saying he won't, but he will not finish ahead of Godwin and Evans.
No.
And he's 33. So there is there's a built-in possibility that the other weapons in this offense are used as well. Like Antonio Brown may be very ancillary, and you may see who's the rookie from last year whose name is escaping.
Tyler Johnson.
You might see Tyler Johnson, Gronkowski, the return of O.J. Howard, Gio Scotty Bernard.
Scotty Miller is still there.
Scotty Miller. Like there's the possibility to me where like, you know, Brown is just kind of occasionally there.
It's a powerful offense in general, but I will say this. I mean, he came in week 9, and from week 9 on, he was the wide receiver 21, and that was with all of those pieces you're mentioning.
And that's off
no,
the
No,
Howard
street. And Bernard weren't there.
Okay.
They were two of the names I mentioned.
O.J. Howard was not there, but, I mean, with that
or
core,
Gio.
I'm talking about the main guys of Godwin and Mike Evans, and that was including that first week where, you know, he came in and they scored 3 points. Yes, he is older. If someone's going to say, I don't care about age, it's that Tom Brady guy.
The off of the street plays 8 games, and in 5 of those 8, which is, this is my point of him being in the 10th round, wide receiver 50, 5 of his 8 games, he finished inside the top 36. That's a wide receiver 3 playing for a high-powered offense in double-digit rounds. That's crazy to me.
Okay. Anything else from this team? The tight end position, are you avoiding Gronkowski? Pretty impressive year for Gronkowski.
Yeah, I think it's really – Gronk is a streaming option. He's a touchdown-dependent tight end like most of them outside of the top 5 are. He's fine to stream on a weekly basis.
I forgot to give you the Vegas win total for the Saints. Do you want to guess?
I'm going to guess 12.
Ooh.
Whoa.
I'll take the under.
Yeah, definitely way under.
Yeah, I win.
9.
Okay. wow. Jason loves the Saints.
It'd be fun when we pick this division because the win total for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is 12, though, if that's what you meant.
That is what I meant.
Yeah. Did you really?
Is that what you meant?
Yeah.
I asked you about the Saints.
Oh, no, I would not be 12. I we were talking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, so I went 12.
Yeah, but then he said the Saints.
Well, I said, hey, I forgot to give you the win total of the Saints. What do you think it is?
Okay. All right.
But you're
9.
No, it's too late. You're locked in at 12.
Okay. But I guess, yeah, if you did think it was the Bucs, you were right. It was 12. Let's move on to the Panthers. Last year, 5-11. They were 3-8 in one-score games. Okay, I'm not sure Darnold's going to help that. 24th in points per game, 30th in pace of play. It wasn't great. Teddy Bridgewater is gone. Mike Davis is gone. Curtis Samuel is gone. Sam Darnold has arrived. Dan Arnold has arrived. They only added rhyming names. That's the goal. And then you get Christian McCaffrey back. I mean, he's not a player addition for this offseason, but he is, right? He's
yep.
back. They drafted Terrace Marshall Jr. in the second round, who I love. They drafted Chuba Hubbard to play the backup role in a way that, you know, maybe Mike Davis really even couldn't, you know, somebody that's a little bit more versatile in the passing game.
He has juice.
Oh, yeah.
Which Mike Davis, he's squeezing all the juice out.
Yeah. He's doing that thing where the box is already crumpled and you're like,
yeah,
I
got a little bit left
in a couple drops left, please.
I'm
thirsty.
Between the division, the change at quarterback, I'm not that excited for this offense. I really am not. I don't know that Sam Darnold's the answer. Actually, I'm fairly sure he's not. I think Christian McCaffrey is locked and loaded.
What if the question is, name a quarterback that will not change the outcome of your team?
Sam Darnold.
Okay.
But McCaffrey last year, he played 3 games, and he ended up with as many top 6 weeks as Aaron Jones had.
Can I guess, was it 3? He played in his 3 games that he end with 3 top 6?
Yes.
Yes, because he is unfathomably great. I'm on the other side, Andy. I am crazy excited about Carolina Panthers' options in fantasy football in the draft. When it comes to, obviously, McCaffrey is all of our 101, so he's... Guys, just draft him if you're at 101. Don't overthink it. He's unbelievably better than everyone else for fantasy, so long as he's healthy, which is, you know, what we have to assume. But I love the value on DJ Moore still. I think he's being drafted at basically where his floor is, and if touchdowns come his way, he has Terry McLaurin type of ability to break out to me. Robbie Anderson is left for dead. He had over 1,100 yards and like 120-plus targets last year. Now he's reunited with Sam Darnold.
Is that good or is that bad?
Well, he's definitely drafted at his floor right now to me. So I look at these options and I'm very excited. And then I like Terrace Marshall. This is a team last year that with a sucky Teddy Bridgewater still had three different 1,000-yard from scrimmage offensive guys. And I think another year under Ja Rule, and they're going to go out there
I don't think so. Will you water bet me the Vegas win total?
No, it's not wins. This is fantasy football production. I don't think they're going to win that many games, but if there is a water bet on value for fantasy points, we can find that, and I will definitely bet it.
I just think if the wins don't come, it really disrupts the consistency from those positions, and you saw that last year. I mean, Robbie Anderson started on fire. You say he's being drafted at his floor, wide receiver 34. From week 6 on, he was the wide receiver 37 last year, so that's probably fair.
And that was his bad stretch, right?
From week 6 on was, yeah.
He was the wide receiver 8 through the first 5 weeks.
It was just, even though the end-of-year numbers were there, I think we can all admit DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, and Curtis Samuel were probably started the least of all 1,000-yard receivers because they were all very difficult to predict because of that the way that team went. So either way, I agree with you. I think DJ Moore has tons of potential. And I think Robbie Anderson's probably, you know, in the 7th round being drafted. Like, I'd rather have Robbie in the 7th than Antonio Brown in the 10th if it's me. But I just think it's very hard to predict who's going to be good and when.
Yeah, the touchdown anomaly of DJ Moore, it will truly go down if it happens again. If DJ Moore is 1,100 yards, 4-5 receiving touchdowns, this is Loch Ness Monster, Bigfoot type of stuff that just, how is this, is impossible that to be that good, to his athletic profile is absurd. He's one of the best, youngest wide receivers in the game who has had nothing but incredible production since he's came into the league. The touchdowns simply have not happened.
Well, that was a Julio thing too, right? I mean, that became something that you just accept about a player.
Yes.
And through, you know, this would be the fourth straight year. At that point, you have to just, you can't sit there and hope.
Yeah, and I'm in agreement with you. But I lean more with Jason's side that I believe in DJ Moore, the player. If you're looking at, you know, average yards turn into touchdowns. Like, this is just what happens in the NFL. And if you look at the average amount of yards a receiver has per how many touchdowns they have, I mean, he should have closer to 18 in his 3 seasons instead of 10. Like, that's some really bad touchdown variance luck.
I agree with that independent of the reality at quarterback, because I don't know if we can count on the least consistent quarterback in the last 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a hard thing, right? I mean, he threw 9 touchdowns last year.
You are 100% correct. I mean, everything here that I want to love these options so much, and I do. Like, I genuinely am bullish on these wide receiver options for where they're being drafted. And then at the end of it, I always circle back to Sam Darnold, because it's like Teddy Bridgewater last year threw 3% touchdown rate. That is horrifically
bad. That's really bad, yeah.
Darnold was worse.
Yeah.
Darnold had 2.5, but Darnold the years prior were 4.3. But, you know, he has been
on
league
average.
Last year he had a very shortened season and sucked with Adam Gase. So,
since entering the league in 2018 via Rich Rebar, Darnold is 42nd in red zone completion rate, 38th in touchdown rate.
42nd?
Out of 43. Out of 43.
Dang it, man.
So you don't what he's failed to do is literally produce touchdowns in the red zone. Like, he's the worst in football. And I don't know if, like, it may take a couple years to fully degaze. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So that's scary. That's why I say it's a scary team to me. I would take the I'd be smashing the Vegas under.
Justin Fields was there for you to take.
Yeah.
Shame on you, Carolina.
This team would be so, I would be so excited for the prospects of this team with Justin Fields.
All right, are you excited about this next squad? The 4-12 Falcons. They were 0-5 in the first five games. They were 0-5 in their final five games. That's a bookended failure. 2-8 in one score games.
Woof.
And now Todd Gurley, see ya. Julio Jones, farewell. The former departure better than the latter one. Mike Davis was added to the running back room. Now, they were already 27th in rushing yards last year and 20th in rushing attempts. So Mike Davis comes in and fills the role of running back, but Mike Davis does not come in my opinion, like a drafted Najee Harris would have, and demand that the running back gets more of the offense. And so I guess I would say it gives some predictability to the fact that the pass attempts and the passing yards will be the focal point of the offense once again with Matt Ryan.
Yeah, it really will be. And we've talked about this. It's ironic you bring up Najee Harris. Najee Harris demanding more workload. I actually see it somewhat similar, not in any way, shape, or form of demanding. I agree completely with you. But in the sense that there's just not a lot of other options there. So at the end of the season, I think that that Mike Davis will have a lot of use, but the running game for the Atlanta Falcons will be just...
So have all the pie, but the pie will be smaller.
Exactly. Very James Robinson from last year, right? The Jacksonville Jaguars running game was bad, and yet James Robinson was good because he just got all of the small pie. That's what I see here, but he is not quite as good as James Robinson, but he'll catch the ball. So I think Mike Davis is a good fantasy option for where he's being drafted.
Yes.
Nobody really wants him. He's the running back 27.
His ADP is shocking to me. Like, Mike Davis, getting that contract, what he did last year, he just reeks of a round four running back.
Yes.
Like, right in that area where the known good starters are gone. Great wide receivers there, but you freak out and you go, I got to get a starting running back, so you take Mike Davis. But the fact that he's holding in the sixth,
I think I know why. And if you talk to people from Atlanta, they're expecting other names to emerge beyond the names that we're familiar with. So Tony Brooks, James, or Javian Hawkins are names that I think people in Atlanta are expecting to be able to potentially, you know, pull the Philip Lindsay year and come out and really take it. Like, if you split this running game up, then it becomes really unattractive because of the fact that they'll be in the bottom third in rushing attempts. And so I've heard a lot of people from Atlanta kind of saying, hey, watch out for Brooks James or somebody else to come in here and threaten Mike Davis, because if Davis has it to himself, he does represent a value.
Yeah, and I think we've basically explained the backfield well. The odds of these undrafted rookie free agents coming in and pulling a Philip Lindsay are historically low, but obviously they have an opportunity ahead of them because it is such a sparse running back room. I do like Mike Davis's value in the sixth, seventh round. If he stays there, that's where it's like, you know, he catches the ball enough, and Matt Ryan's going to be throwing enough to where he should be fine for fantasy.
Mike Davis or Ronald Jones?
Mike Davis.
I'm Ronald Jones.
Okay. Fair. I don't blame you.
Calvin Ridley.
Oh, man.
Not any good arguments against Calvin Ridley.
Oh, man. Calvin Ridley's going to be...
Wait. I got a good one.
Oh, go, please.
Okay, are you ready? He had a bad combine.
Calvin Ridley is going to be so good for fantasy football.
Is there an opposite argument for Calvin Ridley? Like, if you say
no,
that,
I refuse to hear it.
Well, no, I want to bring it up because you just brought it up for DJ Moore, right? You sit there and you smash the fact that the amount of targets and yards it should equate to different touchdowns. I think we would agree that, like, on the touchdown front, like, Ridley has been above average.
Yes.
So. I'm just searching.
No,
right?
Sure.
Is there an average touchdown rate argument for Ridley where he goes out and gives you 1,496 yards but six touchdowns?
Probably not, is the argument. The argument to make against him is that he's scored a touchdown at a higher than average rate, and that it's not just his doing. We've said this before. Touchdowns are not the stickiest stat from year to year. You can have a Mike Evans who has double digits and then the next year has tons of yards and ends up with just a handful of touchdowns. That absolutely is the path for Calvin Ridley to be disappointing. But even when he's disappointing and he finishes the year with only six touchdowns, disappointing is still going to be like a top 10 wide receiver because of the sheer volume. We've seen him without Julio. It's not like a Juju Smith-Schuster, you know, Antonio Brown is leaving and we're not sure if he can handle this. He can handle this. The question to me is more about Matt Ryan. Is there any chance Matt Ryan just falls off, that he's done and kaput,
no,
and this team ends up with a different quarterback for the second half of the year? Because I put that at a greater than zero.
I don't. No, I think Matt Ryan, I look at it the same way I did. Until Matt Ryan is off the roster, he'll be the starting quarterback. It's like Stafford and Detroit. They stunk as a team. But you could kind of go and look at their pass-catching options and just go, it's Matthew Stafford. That's how I view it.
Yeah, sure. I think Matt Ryan's very secure. Calvin Ridley down the stretch, once he returned from from the injury, and this is when Julio Jones was essentially gone, he was seeing over 10 targets a game. He was averaging over 100 receiving yards per game. He is elite. He is an elite separator. And now you bring in you have a new head coach, Arthur Smith, and Arthur definitely has a plan, and that plan involves play action. You saw how efficient things could be in Tennessee when you had Ryan Tannehill. Like, it's crazy to me when you look at the numbers and the studies on teams running play action and how successful play action is, and even how successful play action is when your run game just sucks. Like, the big myth and the big lie about it is, well, you got to have a good running game for play action. No.
You just have to run it.
Play action just works because you freeze someone for just a
the linebacker doesn't
microsecond.
Go, is this a good running back? I'm not going to get ready to tackle him if he's not.
You get that half a second edge and create an opportunity for your wide receiver. And maybe Arthur Smith wants to somehow turn this team into the Titans, but he doesn't have Derrick Henry. It's not going to work. The team is still going to – they're still going to be a losing team that has to pass to catch up. So I am all in on Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley, to me, can be the number one wide receiver by the end of the season.
Russell Gage is the biggest – one of the biggest steals in fantasy to me.
Yeah, and I will agree with you.
Because the passing volume will be massive, and he's the wide receiver 61 right now.
Yeah, I'm like, in on this.
I will put my water where my mouth is.
Okay.
I don't know. I will bet somebody like Antonio Brown versus Russell Gage.
Oh, put it on the board.
You want in, Mike? Or
no,
just,
okay. No, go ahead.
Russell Gage on my side, Antonio Brown on your side.
Yes, sir.
Water bet.
This is definitely a volume versus talent bet.
Yeah.
As Russell Gage is fine. He's a fine player.
Week 11 on, he was on 141 target pace. We've looked for a long time at the without Julio numbers for Calvin Ridley, but Russell Gage is the next man up in this wide receiver core, as is Kyle Pitts, rookie tight end. The tight end six off the board right now. There's a lot endless discussion we've had about Kyle Pitts, and there will be more of it right now. But Jason has been just a true despiser of the individual.
He's on record saying that Kyle Pitts is most likely to bust of anyone in the first round
right.
for this past draft. He said, no. Kyle Pitts stinks.
Yeah, that was the quote.
That's Jason.
That's the quote. No, tongue in cheek.
Feel like some words are being put in my mouth here.
Maybe I don't remember it exactly, but I feel like that's what you said.
The real situation for Kyle Pitts is this. No rookie tight end has come in with greater draft capital and greater hype than Kyle Pitts in the history of the National Football League. He is also coming into incredible opportunity on the surface that you would not normally expect. A team, hey, you're a rookie tight end. You get to come into a team where Julio Jones departs, where you're number four in total pass attempts with an established quarterback, with an offense that will utilize you. All of that has to be counterbalanced with the reality that tight ends in the rookie season rarely produce prolific numbers.
Let me ask you this. If he were to just simply tie the best rookie tight end season since the year 2000, and he does that, would you be happy with him? That's Evan Engram his rookie season, 64 for 722 and six touchdowns. That would have been last year's
tight end
six.
That's the best rookie season since 2000.
Right. So. That would have been last year, Logan Thomas. Would you say that that returned on where he's being drafted right now as the tight end six? Would you be happy drafting the tight end six, getting Logan Thomas, who was the tight end six last year?
No.
Because I would certainly not be.
I think the return is there, personally.
I think
if
what
you were
you're giving up 64,
7, 22, and 6.
Yeah.
I think what you're giving up in the fifth round to get a Logan Thomas from last year is not even close to paying off, personally.
Would it make you more comfortable if we just, instead of having the debate around the best rookie seasons of all time, if we just come out and say that we expect Kyle Pitts to have the best rookie tight end season of all time? Like if we just say we think he'll have the best season ever of a rookie tight end, is that better for, are you comfortable with us saying that?
Yeah, I mean, I think we need to say that if, you know, for where he's being drafted, if you want to believe in him, you have to believe he's going to have the best rookie tight end season of all time. You have to. If you don't believe that, you can't draft him where he's being going.
I think he'll probably be the tight end three.
At the end of the year?
I think so.
Okay.
Well, no, sorry, the tight end four. I think he'll be the tight end four.
Well, then that's definitely worth drafting.
Are you happy with that in the fifth round?
If he was the tight end four, I would probably be happy with that. I think he's going to be the tight end six. He'll be utilized. He'll have a great rookie season. But I am still very, very much on the side of Kyle Pitts is a rookie tight end. He's still out there. There's going to be a lot of two tight end sets. We saw that from Arthur Smith. Hayden Hurst exists, and it's not just going to be the Kyle Pitts show in his rookie season. I think he is easily the most talented pass-catching tight end I've ever scouted coming out of college, but for redraft for 2021, he flat out has to have the best rookie tight end of all time, not since 2000, in order to be good, and that's a tough pill to swallow.
Call it quits on Kyle Pitts. That's the Jason Moore model
for 2021. Sure.
Vegas win total is at 7.5.
Really?
Yeah.
Seven. Really?
Which is the same as the Carolina Panthers.
Wow, I think that's generous.
I agree.
Who wins the division?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Agreed.
That makes three of us. Toughest player to project in the entire division?
Starting quarterback for the Saints.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, that's a pretty easy one. I would say Leonard Fournette because his playoff run, is it going to have an effect? And I feel like he shouldn't even be on the roster.
I'm actually going to go with DJ Moore. Because I think the history, three straight years under five touchdowns, makes it really hard to congeal in my head what he will be this year. Sneakiest player for 2021, I'll say Russell Gage.
Terrace Marshall Jr., a player we didn't really talk about, rookie wide receiver for the Carolina Panthers, coming into the Curtis Samuel vacated role and coming out of the Justin Jefferson role from college where he dominated, and I love Terrace Marshall.
Come on, y'all. It's Adam Troutman.
Oh,
please.
Yeah.
Okay. Sneakiest. Please. The sneakiest trout in all the lake.
And before we close the show out, I mean, we would be remiss on the Fantasy Footballers if we did not mention, at least have a discussion about the Atlanta Falcons. They have a new defensive coordinator.
Oh, yeah.
Defensive coordinator, Dean Pease. Dean Pease.
What is he doing?
And it is spelled P-E-E-S. Okay. Dean Pease.
Yes, he does.
We all do.
Yeah, but Dean Pease.
But Dean does as well.
Yeah, is the defensive coordinator.
Also, they brought in a defensive assistant, Matt Pease.
Who he does as well.
Yeah.
And did they bring in Robin Mahfood at all?
Your surname is Pease.
You don't get a choice in that.
You 100,000% have a choice in that. Not when you're born, your parents can do what they want. But then you can go, you know what? My last name is Pease. And I'm not about that.
Maybe they're proud of the Pease name. I imagine everybody in their family Pease.
I would just I would go P-E-A-S. I would just change a letter. It's Pease, like the vegetable.
Would you?
That's going to help him in grade school.
What if it's Dean Poops?
Yeah, would you change that? P-O-O-P-S.
Yes, if his last name was Poops, I would change
it. But Pease is fine.
What if he has a problem peeing, and then the doctor's is kind of ironic, isn't it?
I thought you'd be great at this based on your lineage. Your great-great-grandfather was quite a wizard. He would really unload.
I can't believe that this was the thing. I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up
Dean Pease.
For the Fantasy Footballers brand, of course, we're talking about Dean Pease.
All right. We want to thank Pristine Auction for supporting the show. A George Kittle signed jersey. He's a tight end. I take over Mr. Pitts. Signed
bold.
Jerseys at $43.86 right now. Ends on Wednesday night at Pristine Auction. There's a Justin Jefferson signed jersey. Oh, with his rookie season stats on there. $63 right now. That ends on Wednesday night, too. You'll see the jerseys pop up all year long right behind my head as we rotate them in. PristineAuction.com. Use the code BALLERS. Get a $10 credit. That'll do it for our first NFC divisional show. Go, Suns. Or you may never see us again.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.